thoughts that I've been impressed with in the Bible. I was thinking how that in this time of year, Christmas is celebrated in a lot of different ways. The scripture comes to my mind as I was sitting here in the meeting tonight, very familiar, John 3:16. And I just wanted to share a little of the thoughts that Brother Clifford mentioned about the song characterizing Christ, you know, his trueness, the gentleness, all that pertained to his personality. And I was thinking, what a blessing on our part that the Heavenly Father, even when we were in such terrible condition, the prayer request that he made for Brother Clifford's father-in-law, it came to my mind very forcibly there. God loves so great, and Jesus' sacrifice so great, so costly, and yet, for our salvation, for our joy, for our security, we sing that song tonight about blessed holy rest. To be able to be resting spiritually, there had to be a great price paid. And I want to mention the scripture. It's over in John, the 15th chapter, where Jesus is speaking about, said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, Father is the husbandman of this vine. I thought how that Jesus, not only God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son to the world to redeem us, but Jesus loved us so much, too, that he didn't withhold anything that was written in the prophets concerning his sacrifice that had to be made. And I just wanted to dwell on that a little. And he said over in that same chapter, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I thought about that in relation to the thought of marriage. You know, generally speaking, and I can apply this to my own personal experience, a husband usually asks a wife, will you marry me? You know, that's just kind of an analogy that I want to mention briefly. But dear ones, I thought about those of us, and I know that it's been reflected even in the request and things tonight. If God so loved us, how much we ought to love him. How much we ought to be willing to put ourselves in the background, put ourselves down, sit low at his feet, and all. And I just think of one scripture I want to read. It's in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and we might read another chapter there, but it's in the message to the church of the Laodiceans is what it is, but it's a thought in there that I don't want to try to cover a lot of it. It's deep, and I'm not sure I understand a lot of it, but I've been impressed with the thought there. And that regarding where we're at in the world, and when I say in the world, I don't mean worldly. I mean, we heard this morning about you're not of the world, as I'm not of the world, where the world hates you, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Thinking of the I believe it starts at the 14th verse. Said, and unto the angel of the church, the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. and anoint thine eyes with thy salve that thou mayest see. And these now, the verses on following here is what I mainly want to think about. I know we've heard recently through Brother Fuller and Brother Bob as well messages that touched on the fact, and it's very real, that we are not sufficient in ourselves. But notice what it says here. It said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. It said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. I want to speak just a little about someone knocking at our door. Now, you know, if there's a burglar coming to take away our goods, it has no concern for our welfare, but he wants something, he may not stand at the door and knock. He may just barge in, or he may just do whatever alternative is advantageous for him. But here I'm thinking about in relation to like a husband choosing a wife. And it seemed like to me, as I read the scripture, I thought, Lord, help us to love you for what you've paid for us enough so till we'll leave our heart door open or at least hear you knocking, and we'll open it when you're knocking. Now, I realize that in relation to salvation, we're not saved by the works of the law. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. And so when we believed the gospel as it was preached and opened our heart, the Lord saved us. And what I'm thinking now, the Lord not only wanted to save us, but we've been hearing in some of the Sunday school lessons, and I appreciate it so much. The Lord not only wants us to be forgiven and have peace with God, and the Bible talks about having, therefore being justified by faith and peace with God, but he wants to come in and live and have a very close association with us. He wants our hearts and our lives and our actions and reaction dealing with other people to be increased by his love that's magnified through the Spirit by Jesus. I'm just thinking now, I know that all of us, and I'm not a young person anymore, we have our times of things that would be discouraging. But I've been reminded so much of the different songs that we have among the saints. Bill Simon and his family used to sing, Heaven will surely be worth it all. And dear ones, for us to be ready and prepared for heaven, we need to have our heart door open. When the Lord is knocking at our door, it may not be you need to be saved. It may be you need to be closer to me. It may be you need more of my fullness. And one scripture says, of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. But dear ones, if the Lord is knocking at our heart door, he's telling us, we sang that song here a few days ago, I don't remember what night, where it began with more all of me and none of Jesus. And then it went on down to a little of Jesus, I don't remember all about it, but the last verse said, none of me and all of him. It's something like that. And you know that's what the Lord wants. He wants the preeminence in our lives in every way. He wants our actions in dealing with people who are saved. I thought his request went in for Vanda's father, and I was touched by that. But he wants us to have that softness, that love, that patience, that long-suffering. I'm reminded of the scripture in the third chapter of 2 Peter now relating to this thought, where the apostle is writing or speaking to the church and said, now I want to stir up your pure mind. He didn't say your mind wasn't pure. I want to just change your life altogether. They said, I want to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. There'd been scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where are the promises coming? Everything just continuing on like it was. But dear ones, I say in the fear of God and with a real burden on my heart, Lord, help us. Whatever and wherever we're at in life, He'll be the deep treasure of our heart. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I was studying today a little and meditating along the line. We've heard some messages about the temple of God and mammon. And I actually didn't know what the word mammon was, but I had my wife to spell it for me, so I could look it up in the dictionary, and I found out a little more about it. It doesn't necessarily just say money, but it is having a feeling of security in something that's temporal. I mean, that's the way I read it. And dear ones, the Lord, He would love, I'm sure, by the word of God, I can say this with all clearness and thought, He would like our mind to be on things above and not on things on earth. Yeah. We may have a certain degree of wealth. We may have a fine family, and we may have just many things that are coming to us that we rightfully can and should give thanks for and do give thanks for. But He wants our mind in heaven. I just want to relate a little bit to the scripture we mentioned over in the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter, where it talks about the strong of the world. Now, we're living in a time when it even literally the world is in a real turmoil. I mean, a lot of people that has a lot of knowledge and technology on it, monitoring where the world is and what it may or may not do and happen and all. But this chapter in Peter, it went ahead and said, the earth also and the works of therein shall be burned up. But it said, we, according to His promise, look for new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And it does go ahead and say, and this is what I want to leave with us. Said, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what persons ought you to be in all holy conversation with God? I want to say from my point of what being said there, dear ones, our concern for souls, our desire to reach out. I don't interpret, and I don't feel like it's appropriate for me to interpret what for you to do, or like we heard this morning, God, He's the one that all of us are going to answer to. His word is what we'll meet in the last days. You know, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And it goes ahead and says the Word was made flesh, speaking of Jesus. And as we living in this time of year when people are celebrating and lighting up and doing so many things that physically reflecting this and that, I said to my wife the other day, and I don't mean to be malicious in saying this, but it's a serious thought to me. I said, well, you could go to Reno, Nevada, and it'd be Christmas all the time because of the lights, if that's all it were. But you know, dear one, the Lord wants the light of God's love to shine in their heart. He's not, I don't want to use words that sound appropriate, but I do not believe God is impressed with no big lighted tree. I don't believe God's impressed with all the things and all that's put on. But I don't want to be malicious about that. But I surely desire that the Lord would help me in my actions and reactions and my feelings and dealing with people, that they might see and desire a better position. And we was walking in over today there for lunch over at Kentucky Fried Chicken, and this is just to make a little point. And this older lady, there were several older people in there, different, I don't know, may have been different classes of what we'd look at as society, but anyway, this woman was quite modernly dressed, you know, and she said, I tell you, said, this the crowd is here, you can't even find a seat. And I said, well, there's one thing we need to be thankful for. I said, in this country, there's a lot of food if we're willing to wait. There's just a lot of food. And you know, the Bible speaks about waiting on the Lord. And the Lord has got a lot of spiritual food if we're willing to wait. And I said to her, I said, well, we couldn't even hardly find a parking place out there. But I said, I'm so thankful there's a lot of food. And the Bible said that no good thing was God withholding them to walk upright. I want to tell you the things that we ask, if we're not careful and prayerful, we might be asking amiss. The chapter I mentioned reading in the 15th chapter of St. John, it is in there, and I want to call our attention to it. He said, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, you're the branches, my Father is the husband thereof, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it to bring forth more fruit. In other words, any time we lend our minds and our heart to go closer to God, he'll get closer to us. That's just that simple. It's just that true. And then, but it went on in there to say, and I thought about that quite a bit too as I meditated upon it. He indicated, the thought I'm trying to get at, it sort of slipped my mind. I won't turn to that. It's toward the last part of that 15th chapter. But and the thought I'm having, and I want to dwell on just a little more, is realizing that God is so faithful. Oh, the scripture I wanted, he said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. Now, isn't that a challenge? Now, if we abide in the Lord, and we needed a new car, now, I want to change that just a little from what I was about to say. If we felt like we'd like to have a new car, and we feel like, well, I'm abiding in the Lord, I want a new car. The Word doesn't say he'd give a car unless his Word would cover that area. So what I'm saying is, the scripture where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. In other words, knowing that God is a spirit, and he desires above all the material blessings that we might acquire, have, or receive, he wants our soul. He wants us to be perfected in that love, that so we can actually be looking. For like Peter said, according to his promise, we look for new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We sang that song this morning, and I like that song about a house not made with hands. You know, Brother Philip, Brother Eulis Phillips wrote that, and I think about the song he wrote over in 494, I believe, said, Jesus lives in me. He's the star of perfect day. Drive the darkness all away. We're reading this morning some in John. And you know darkness is hatred and strife and malice. Darkness is night, in a sense of speaking physically, but the Bible speaks about day and night being the same to the Lord. But now hatred and malice is not the same of love with the Lord. But I was just thinking, what a challenge, and where he said, I stand at the door and knock. If we feel like we're so complete, and yet we bite and we retain strife in our heart, or any animosity or envy, or all those things that's unlike Christ, dear ones, we need something more. We need to come closer to God. And one song we have says, closer my child to me. And I'm just appreciated the good message today, and I just wanted to say in closing that I've appreciated the series of Sunday school lessons that we've had lately. And one of the basic reasons that a blessing has blessed my heart is this. Now, God, over in Isaiah, said, his ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens is above earth, and his thoughts than our thoughts. But then I was thinking about the challenge of us having the mind of Christ. Now that's something that God has provided and desires and has ordained. That this same mind you, being you which was in Christ, Jesus, when he suffered, threatened not, when he reviled, he didn't revile again. You know, dear ones, I just feel like this. If we can actually be settled and established and keep this in mind with an open door or a listening ear to God's Word, God will bless us more and more. And not about this listening. You forgive me, I just seem like I keep having a few little things that I want to bring to light that happened in my experience. The word listen is not in the Bible but one time. But I'm convinced that listening is important. I was working many years ago down on the wastewater plant down on Shoal Creek, and come a big snow. And it was like 28 inches deep or such a matter. Shoveled out walks there, and when the sun came out and the snow was over, a little bird began to hop down there in that path that I'd shoveled out, the sun, the warmth of the sun. And I was evidently, in my mind, it was evidently having an attraction to the worm insects, which was the little bird's food. And no doubt they was immigrating toward that warmth. And I sat there in the plant and I looked out the window, and it was so unrealistic in my mind, naturally, how many birds were there just feeding, feeding, feeding. I'm assuming those worms are migrating toward the warmth, whatever it was. But then I thought of the different scripture Jesus said about the fowls. He said, consider them. He said, they toil not, they sow not, they don't gather in the barn, they don't lay up big store, but said, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. But one thing they do, they listen. And so I just want to say, Lord, help us each one. When we come to meeting, whether it's Sunday school, whether the Spirit leads somebody to sing a song, whether it's a testimony, whatever God provides, dear one, He wants us to listen. He wants us to give ear to all that goes forth, in honor to Him. And I just feel so incapable of expressing the depth of my thought, but I can truthfully say this from my heart. I desire to have more of His force in my life. I want to relate one more time to marriage. When I married, my wife was 16 years old when I chose her. And I chose her. I said, did you marry me? Yeah. Well, I wasn't as well acquainted with her as I am now. But I want to tell you, by the grace of God, I still love her. And she makes good cornbread and cooked brown beans. And I can say from the bottom of my heart, I don't believe my mother, and I was proud that my wife telling this story. She said, well, I'm glad to hear y'all getting married. I've been praying for y'all getting married. That astounded me. I never imagined that. But anyway, I want to close and say that, dear one, the Lord has chosen you, and He's chosen me. And if He didn't love us, if He didn't choose us, even while we were so totally, again, about your prayer request, don't give up. Pray for our love. Just keep praying for everyone. Pray for me. Praise the Lord.